Matthew chapter 5, and let's just read one verse, verse number 5. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And we want to concentrate this morning on understanding that one word, the word meek. But let's pray. Lord, bless this service today. Bless as I preach the Word of God. Lord, if we are to incorporate these godly virtues into our lives, we're certainly going to have to understand what they mean. And so, God, I pray that you'd give us a biblical understanding of meekness and of this word meek, and that, Lord, as we understand it, that we would be able to more correctly identify whether or not we are yielded to the Spirit of God in such a way to allow this virtue to come from our lives. And so, God, indeed, help us this morning to understand the definition of this word, that, Lord, more importantly, may we strive in our lives to exhibit meekness, recognizing the wonderful benefits that will come as a result. So again, God, bless your word as it goes forth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many ways to try and to determine the meaning of a word. You can look a word up in Webster's Dictionary and find the definition there, and probably depending upon which Webster's Dictionary you're looking at, you may or may not get an accurate definition of the word as it is found in the Bible. If you have an 1828 Webster's Dictionary, you'll be much more likely to find a biblical definition for the word, since it was produced years ago when words sometimes had differing meanings. But even then, sometimes that's insufficient to understand the way that a word is used in the Bible. Since we have are in the habit of studying Bible words, we will many times not look at necessarily Webster's Dictionary, but look at a Bible dictionary or a Bible encyclopedia, and sometimes we can find the definition or a meaning of a word therein. Other times we look at our study Bible or a commentary and find the meaning of the word there. But many times all of these different means of finding the definition of a word are insufficient. Sometimes in order to truly get an accurate understanding of the way in which a word is used in the Bible, we have to look at the context in which it is used in the Bible. And if you will do that, you can be assured that you will get a proper understanding of the word. Now, every time I embark upon studying a word that's found in the Bible, I use dictionaries, I use Bible encyclopedias, I use commentaries. But the thing that has always been most helpful to me is to look at the way that the word is used in the Bible. And that's where I come away with the best understanding of any word and as it is used in the Scriptures. And so, this morning what I want to do is to help us understand this word, meek. Our text again says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." I have often heard preachers define the word meek as power under control. More recently, in studying this particular passage and this particular word, I saw more than once a Bible teacher define it as a complete reliance upon God to defend you. And they would say that especially in respect to the Old Testament figures that are classified as meek. Moses is said to be one of the meekest men ever to live. And as you study the life of Moses in the Old Testament, you will see that when others attacked him, when they were critical of him, he left it in the hands of God. And God always took care of him. If you look at the word meek or meekness up in Webster's Dictionary, it will say this: softness of temper, mildness. In an evangelical sense, humility. submission to the divine will without murmuring, and opposed to pride. Another book defines meekness toward God is a disposition of spirit in which we accept His dealing with us as good, and therefore without disputing or resisting. It also says that meekness towards evil people means knowing God is permitting the injuries they inflict and that He is using them to purify His people. And another man said, meekness is the opposite to self-assertiveness and self-interest. The English word meekness is used 12 times in the New Testament. The Greek word is used 9 times in that's translated meekness is translated that way 9 times in the New Testament, always translated the same way. And the word meek is used 4 times in the New Testament. And so let's look at some of the references in the Bible to the words meek or meekness and see if we can come away with a good understanding of what this word means. And again, the purpose for doing this is so that we understand whether or not we are allowing God control of our lives so that we will be producing meekness, we'll be producing all of the fruit of the Spirit. Because understand, the only types of people that can truly exhibit the type of meekness that's talked about in the Bible are those who are saved and under the control of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit, one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit is meekness, which means when we're yielded and controlled by God, by the Spirit of God, we will exhibit meekness. But if we're not exhibiting meekness when God intends for us to do so, then that's an indication that we are not yielded to the Spirit of God. And when we see ourselves lacking joy, lacking peace, lacking compassion or love, all of which are aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, then we can be assured that we are not being controlled by the Spirit of God. Instead, we are allowing our flesh to control us. And so I want us to understand this word so that we can accurately recognize whether or not we are yielded to the Spirit of God. And so let's look at the context of our passage to begin with. There really isn't a whole lot of context given to us here in this verse. It simply says, "Blessed are the meek." But that last phrase does give us some type of indication as to what is meant by the word meek. Because as I said, as we began to look at the Beatitudes, as we began to look at these blessings, that the promise that's associated with these virtues often indicates what is meant by the virtue. For instance, when it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." You don't expect paupers, poor people, to inherit a kingdom. But that's exactly what is said. The poor in spirit will inherit the kingdom. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Even with that second phrase, we kind of understand what is meant by the first. When you mourn, when you're filled with sorrow, when there's weeping in your eyes, God is going to come alongside and comfort you. Some of the others that we've not looked at yet, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You see how the second phrase kind of helps us with the understanding of the first? Well, here in our text, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." They are going to be promoted. I think we can at least say that in a very general sense. That's what is meant by "they shall inherit the earth." They will be promoted. Who are the only types of people in the Scriptures to be promoted by God? It's the humble. Before honor, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, is humility. You'll not be honored, you'll not be promoted, God will not exalt you until you first humble yourself. And so what I'm going to do as we look at the different contexts in which this word is used is give a one-word definition based on the context. And if I was to give a one-word definition of the word meek based on this context, it would be the word humble. Now again, meekness does not necessarily mean humility. But I think that we could say that those words, at least in one sense, are synonyms. And so as we look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, I think we can conclude, at least in a general sense, that the word meek has to do with humility. And then turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. This is perhaps one of the more recognized passages having to do with the subject of meekness. Jesus is the one that's speaking here in verse number 28. Notice what he says. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus here gives a universal invitation to mankind, does he not? And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I'm assuming that the Lord here is talking to those who are burdened with the load of their sins upon their shoulders, upon their consciences. If they will come unto the Lord, he will give them rest. He'll take that burden of sin that's upon them, and he will lift it off of them to be gone forever. It's an invitation, at least in this verse, to be saved, to come to Jesus for salvation. But it seems to me that the next verse doesn't have to do with salvation, but it has to do with service for God's people. And it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. One Bible teacher said there may be some Christians who get saved, but they have a certain reluctancy to serve the Lord, to surrender to the Lord, because they're not certain what he might expect from them. And maybe he would expect something from them that would be unbearable. Maybe he would call them to a place that they don't really want to go. Maybe he would call them to do something that they don't really want to do. Maybe they would. Maybe he would call upon them to say something, to preach something that they don't necessarily want to say or preach. And so these words would be applicable to that kind of person. And again, understand we're looking at this to try to understand the usage of the word meek. And Jesus says to that person that may have some apprehension, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. There's nothing to be afraid of. You're going to find rest unto your souls. My yoke is not burdensome. And understand, the type of animal that would get in the yoke would be the type of animal that would be serving its master. You would put the oxen in the yoke, right? And then you would hook that yoke up to the plow. And the oxen would then have to pull the plow so that the plowman can plant his crops. But you know, I think I've shared with you before an illustration that Brian McBride used when he preached from this text. And he got to talking about how the farmer, how the plowman, you know, before he ever put that yoke upon the oxen, he would take it and he would saturate it with oil. He'd take a rag and he'd take oil and he would just saturate the yoke with oil. And even let it set and soak into that yoke. And he would take, again, the oil that he had and he would apply it to that yoke until the whole thing was saturated in oil. And you might wonder, well, why in the world would the plowman do that? Well, so when that yoke was placed upon that oxen and it was placed upon that beast, when he began to pull and all that pressure began to be applied to his body, that oil would seep out. And it would soothe his muscles. It would soothe his body where all that pressure was. And so the harder he pulled, the more comfort he received. And the oxen discovered that it wasn't a huge burden to pull that plow. Why? Because his master had applied enough oil to give him comfort. And what Jesus, I believe, is saying here is, this is how I am. I am not over burdensome. I am not going to call you to do something that I won't help you to do. And that must be what is meant by Jesus being meek and lowly. He is not a cruel taskmaster. He's a loving taskmaster. And so if I was to put one word definition upon this word meek as it's used in this particular context, it would be the word gentle. Understand, in the fruit of the Spirit, there's both gentleness and meekness. So they don't mean the exact same thing. But to me it appears that they could be synonyms, especially when you see the word meek in this context. The Lord is meek and lowly in heart. He's not a cruel taskmaster. He's not overburdensome. He'll give you the grace to perform whatever it is that He calls you to do. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 with me then. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. What is meekness, humility, gentleness? We'll look at the next thing here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 21. God uses the Apostle Paul to pen these words. He says, "What will ye?" He asks the Corinthians a question. "Shall I come unto you with a rod, or in love and in the spirit of meekness?" I think most of us recognize that the Corinthians really didn't have everything in order, did they? There was a lot of strife. There was a lot of envy in this church. There was a lot of inappropriate uses of the spiritual gifts. There was not a lot of charity. There was not a lot of edification going on in the assembly. Instead, people just wanted to be in the limelight and be perceived as knowledgeable and spiritual by the rest of the congregation. In the chapter to follow of the verse we just read, in chapter 5, there was a man here that was guilty of fornication, and the church had done nothing about it, though it was reported commonly even by those without the church. And so there was lots of problems in the church at Corinth. On top of that, they were finding fault with the Apostle Paul. If we look at the context here, evidently they were saying, you know what, he said that he's going to come and visit us, but he's not going to. He's a liar. And so he asked them a question. How do you want me to come unto you? He said in the previous verse, I'm going to come unto you if the Lord will. And when I come, you know, what type of spirit do you want me to exhibit? What type of approach do you want me to take? Do you want me to come with a rod? Or do you want me to come in love and in the spirit of meekness? Now let me say a couple of things about this. Let me say, first of all, that meekness is not the only approach that a Christian should take in his life. It's not the only approach that a preacher should take in his ministry. It's not the only approach that Jesus took. He rebuked the Pharisees harshly. He ran out the money changers with a whip. He said to his disciples, "Ye of little faith." And in all those instances, people could accuse him of lacking meekness. But that wasn't the case. It was just a time for a different approach. But I think we can all probably agree that the desired approach would be meekness. The Apostle Paul said, I can either come with a rod, and I would not be wrong to do so. Because if you guys don't get some things right in your church and in your personal life, that's the approach that is going to be necessary. So if you don't want me to come with a rod, then get your lives right, and I'll come in the spirit of meekness. God does us a huge favor right here in understanding the word meekness, because He gives us its antonym. What's the opposite of the spirit of meekness? It's coming with a rod. It's coming in a manner that would seem uncompassionate. It's not coming with a rod is not coming with kindness. And this is perhaps the one word that I would use to describe the context in which the word meek is used in 1 Corinthians 4:21. But think about that. It's the opposite. Meekness, the spirit of meekness, is the opposite of coming with a rod. Turn with me then to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Says, in the servant of the Lord, this is probably most applicable to preachers, but I think we should apply it to every one of us, because every person that is saved is to be a servant of the Lord. Of course, the context here, though, is Paul writing to young Timothy, who was a preacher. So again, this is most applicable to the preacher, but I think every one of us need to take heed to what is said here. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. He must not fight, argue. That's not our purpose. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. And then notice verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. As we strive to serve the Lord, we are going to run into people constantly who reject the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be asking ourselves, scripturally, how are we supposed to approach that person? Are we to get in an argument with them? Is it our purpose to fight with them? No. Our purpose is to try to help them find and embrace the truth. And if we're fighting with them, we're a lot less likely to do that. But if we instead be gentle, teach, as it says here, be patient, and in meekness instruct those that oppose themselves, it says that God, peradventure, perhaps God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Again, giving this particular context a one-word definition, it's the word mild. I'm thankful for my pastor, Pastor Hendricks. I've been wanting this commentary set produced by Pastor Sorensen out of Minnesota, and he had some books for me when we went back, and some of the books were that complete commentary set, and I was looking at what he had to say about I don't know if it was this particular passage or one of the other passages that used the word meek, but he was defining it as someone who is in control of their emotions. Someone who's mild of temperament. Meekness would be the opposite of losing your temper. And it seems to me that fits with the context of this particular passage. The pastor, the teacher, the preacher of the Word of God, how is he to conduct himself? He's not to strive. It's not his purpose to get into a fight with those that disagree with him, but to be gentle unto them. Again, this may not, and again, I'm focusing on meekness this morning. I'm not focusing on contending for the faith. And there may come a time where we have to contend for the faith. And one of the biggest problems I see in Christianity today is we'll focus and emphasize one aspect of the Scriptures and neglect the other. People will poke at fundamentalists and call them unloving. Why? Because they're contending for the faith. And yet maybe we look at some new evangelicals and say, you know what, they lack conviction, but it's because they're focusing on something that may be scriptural. Meekness, compassion, those types of things. What we need to do is before God to determine which approach He wants us to take for those given circumstances. We're not always contending for the faith, but we are doing that sometimes. We're not always in meekness instructing people, but certainly there are times, the majority of the time, that we should be doing so. Meekness says, here, sit down and let me try to explain something to you. Meekness is not, I'm glad the door swings both ways. That's not meekness. That's the opposite of meekness. Meekness has to do with being mild. Has to do with being kind and gentle and humble. And look with me at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. It says in verse 1, likewise you wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You know, you can't help but look at this and realize that the Bible is so practical. Again, just to understand the context, that it is written to wives. And it's written to wives who may have unsaved husbands. And you know, a lot of times women who are married to unsaved men wonder how they're supposed to approach their husband. How are they supposed to go about winning him to the Lord? Because many will find resistance from their husbands if they begin to preach at them. If they begin to point out all of their husband's sins. That's probably one of the worst things a woman can do if she has a lost husband. And I say that because she was created to be her husband's helper. And I know a woman, because of zeal, may want to point out her husband's sin in an effort to get him saved, but it might be a wiser thing to let the preacher or some other gentleman point out his sins, not his wife. Because he needs from his wife someone who's supportive, someone who lifts him up, someone who admires him. And really, I think what you find in this particular context, if she will approach and behave towards her husband in that manner, that's what ultimately could lead to his conversion. It says, if any obey not the word, the husband, if he obey not the word, they may also, those lost husbands, may also without the word be won. They might be saved by their wives not saying one word about the gospel. How is that? But by their conversation, that is the conduct and the behavior of their wives while they behold your chaste, that is your pure conversation, your pure conduct coupled with fear. who's adorning. Let it not be, again, women, don't focus on the outward of doing up your hair and putting on of jewelry and the right types of clothes. God says here, instead, focus on your inward man. Even the ornament, it says, put on this for jewelry, not necklaces and bracelets, but he says, a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Put on a meek and quiet spirit. You want to make yourself look good, ladies? You don't have to put on fancy clothes and jewelry. You don't have to get the right haircut. You just have to behave in the right manner. And if a woman will do that when she has a lost husband, perhaps God will bring him to repentance. But again, our purpose in turning to this text is to understand the word meek. And based on this particular context, if I was to give a one-word definition for the word meek, it would be the word submissive. Because that's what's being talked about here. The example given is Sarah. And it says of Sarah that she obeyed Abraham. And she called him Lord. Yes, Lord, she said. As you wish, Lord. Whatever you want, Lord. That's what she did. She was being submissive. She had put on a meek and a quiet spirit. This is contrasted with the strange woman in Proverbs chapter 7 who is loud and stubborn. Loud and stubborn. When you're loud and stubborn, you're not being meek. Because meekness, according to this particular context, has to do with submission. The word meek and meekness is used in connection with words like lowliness, long-suffering, forbearing, kindness, bowels of mercy, faith, love, righteousness. These are the types of things that meekness is associated with by its usage in the Scriptures. This is what is meant by being meek. And Jesus, what did He say back here in our text in Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are the meek. And every God-fearing child of God should say, you know what? If you've got to be meek to be blessed of God, then I want to know what it means to be meek. Well, if you want to know what it means to be meek, all you've got to do is look at how the word is used in the Scriptures. And you'll understand that it carries with it the ideas of humility, gentleness, submission, kindness, mildness of temper. This is what meekness is according to the Scriptures. And one of the attributes of our Savior is meekness. And by the way, no one could accuse Him of weakness. But He was meek and lowly in heart. And as such, those of you that might be here this morning and are lost, you don't need to be afraid of coming to the Lord. He always treats those with a contrite heart, a humble heart, with gentleness. He always treats them with meekness. And so if you're not saved, don't be afraid to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He will welcome you unto Himself with open arms. And I encourage you to get saved this morning if you're not already saved. Those of us that are saved, if that's the way our Savior is, that's the way we should strive to be. People shouldn't be afraid to come to us. They should know that we have a spirit of meekness and that we too will welcome them with open arms. That we too will speak to them in kind words. We should have a mild, a gentle spirit about us. People shouldn't be afraid to talk about the Bible with us because they know they're just going to get in a fight. They ought to know that they can, that we're somebody that they can come and talk with, because they won't, we won't pass harsh judgment upon them. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I think all of us realize when we're raptured, we're going to be with the Lord. But when He returns for the battle of the Armageddon, we will be with Him. And He will come to do what? Establish His earthly kingdom. And we'll be with Him to rule and reign with Him here on the earth. And so if we're saved, then I am assuming that means we are going to be meek. If we're going to inherit the earth, we're going to have to be meek. If you examine your life and see that meekness is not present, then this is an area in which you need to strive to yield to the Spirit of God. Ask God to help you to be meek. Some people come by it naturally, or more naturally than others. All of us have things that's very easy for us to conquer in our lives. Perhaps it's because we've created good habits in our lives, and there are other things that aren't quite so easy. And maybe this is one. Therefore, we just need to ask the Lord to help us to exhibit a spirit of meekness. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for how it helps us to understand what You mean when You say certain things, when You use certain words. And God, I pray that this study this morning would help us to understand what is meant by the word meek and the word meekness. God, I pray that if there are some here this morning that are lost, that You would draw them unto Thyself. May they not be scared to come unto Thee, knowing that You are meek and lowly in heart. And Lord, those of us that are saved, that are born again, help us to examine our lives to see whether or not we are allowing the Spirit of God control of every part of us. And Lord, if we're not meek as we should be, may You give us the ability to be meek. May we consciously yield ourselves to the Spirit of God, that You could produce this virtue in us. So God, bless the word as it's gone forth. Use it for Thy glory. Use it for the benefit of Thy people, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.